Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Happy Friday. Coming up on today's show, it's the battle of the MVP awards on Sunday as Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will face off. We'll dive into Packers and Bucks. Plus, we'll give you our best bets for week three picks and a special ref report, which is one of my favorite things. One of my friends, I'm going to introduce very shortly, does every single season. And of course, you know, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But without further ado, let's bring in Munaf Manji from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and the guy who makes the ref reports. Munaf, how you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. Sorry. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's a pleasure always coming and talking to you. And it's NFL season. It's already week three, Katie. I can't believe it. This season is going to fly by, but so excited to be here.
I know. Well, thank you for coming on again. We love having you. And yes, I can't believe it's already week three, and it does. It goes by so fast. I feel like we wait forever for football to come back, and then it's over in a blink of an eye. But let's go ahead and start things off here and get into the Mox thoughts. So last night, Steelers versus Browns. I had a great night. Okay. I went 3-0 in my picks on Wednesday's episodes. If you tuned in, had the over 38, which was a sweat. Thank you, Tomlin, for not going for it on fourth and one there. I had Brissett over 17 and a half completions. He had 20. The Steelers made Brissett look like he was like an all pro quarterback. It was just the completions were off the chart. And then I had Trubisky under 12 and a half rush yards. He had seven. He had only one rush yard for the longest time. And then he kind of went for it. And thank God he tripped after just 6 yards, ended with seven. I had a great night. I thought the Browns were going to win that game. Obviously, there was the touchdown at the end of the game. But Munaf, what'd you think? How did your bets do?
You just mentioned it there. That touchdown in the end just, I think, killed a lot of bets last night, Katie.
Teasers?
It was. Yeah. I know a lot of people were on those teasers, teasing the Steelers up to, I think, whether you got it at 10 or 10 and a half. And then the under 44 is where I lost my money. So as soon as I saw them, starting to lateral the ball there at the end on that last play, my heart just went to my stomach, and I was like, this is not going to end very well. And lo and behold, they get a touchdown, a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game there. Yeah.
That was one of the worst beats.
Yeah. Al Michaels even said, he's like, that was probably significant to some of you. You know who you are. So yeah, that I kind of felt that to my core. But yeah, look, you had a great night. Mitchell Trubisky, I think that, you know, if you kind of watch, he seems hesitant. You know, he seems hesitant to throw the football down the field where he has all these great receivers with the Steelers, right? Deontay Johnson, George Pickens had that amazing catch last night. Chase Claypool, they have all the guys in skill positions, Najee Harris as well. But he just seems a little hesitant. He gets a little happy feet when he's, back there. But you mentioned Jacoby Brissett looked absolutely great last night. Amari Cooper had a great game. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they got a great win last night. Divisional win, huge win for them. So congrats to you on a great night. So hopefully I can at least bounce back on the Sunday games.
Yes, there was a time in my life, and I mean last season or maybe the season before, I could not win a TNF bet to save my life. So I don't know. They moved to Amazon. I'm a little bit luckier now on Thursday nights. So I will take it. But it's interesting that you bring up Trubisky. I thought he looked pretty good to start out. He seemed a little bit more decisive, and then he got shaky towards the end. But I'm curious what the quarterback situation is going to be. How long do you think until they start to put Pickett in? Obviously, the Steelers fans already calling for him and booing Trubisky. I thought he did better than he did in week two versus the Patriots last night. And again, started out kind of strong. I thought maybe we were going to see a different Mitch. And there were moments of him being decisive. But for the most part, I feel like he's got maybe two more games until they try out Pickett. What do you think?
Yeah, there was a point last night where I saw Pickett with a helmet on at the end of the game. They're thinking that I thought he was going to come in. But no, I think as of this morning, on Friday morning, Tomlin said he's not interested yet to make that quarterback change, but I think eventually, Katie, I think it's going to have to happen if they continue, losing games, right? I think Pickett probably gives them a better chance, at least offensively, to get the ball to the wide receivers that they do have with that wide receiving group that they have. So, probably 2-3 games left for Mitchell Trubisky because, again, you drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round, right? You're probably going to see him sooner rather than later. So yeah, I'm right there with you. 2-3 games max. I think we probably see the Kenny Pickett era starting in Pittsburgh.
Even if you don't start him, I don't know why they just don't bring him out every once in a while, kind of like what Kyle Shanahan did last year with Trey Lance in the beginning of the season, just to kind of have that little quarterback battle, keep everybody on their toes, and give him those reps to see who should be the starter. Also, Steelers now 0-6 without TJ Watt since drafting him. That's obviously a huge, huge loss for them up front. I don't know that TJ Watt should be coming back this season. I think when you got to get like four or five different opinions, you should probably listen to the first three, but I guess we'll have to see how he is when he comes back. And that's what got his brother into a lot of trouble and why he hasn't been as good as he used to be, because I think he came back too early from bad injuries.
Yeah. JJ Watt, I mean, being a Texans fan, after those years where he won the, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, where he started having those shoulder injuries and things like that, he was coming back too soon. And same thing is happening with him now that he's in Arizona with the Cardinals, JJ Watt. He had a shoulder injury last year. I think he came back last week. Didn't look too good to me, but when you have these type of injuries, you really have to take your time. And TJ Watt, they just paid him a lot of money to be the one of the best, if not, you know, right there in top three, no doubt about it, defensive players in the league. I think that you got to take your time with those type of injuries, especially the difference that TJ Watt makes defensively for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think last night it was really evident that they didn't have much of a pass rush, and that secondary was just getting absolutely torched by Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, and they didn't have any sacks versus the Patriots in the week before. I believe they had five or seven even. I don't even know. It was a really high number the week previous of that with TJ Watt. So I totally agree with you there. Now let's talk about Brady versus Rodgers. Tom Brady will face Aaron Rodgers in week three. In the last 20 years, Brady and Rodgers are the most profitable quarterbacks in the NFL against the spread. Brady is covering about 59%. Rodgers covering about 58%. If you bet $100 on Brady on the money line in the last 20 years, you'd be up $5,000. Same goes for Rodgers. You'd be up about $3,000. I mean, Brady has been in the league longer than Rodgers. That's a little bit unfair there, but both of them cover. But there's also no game in NFL history that has featured starting quarterbacks with six combined Super Bowl MVPs until Sunday's game between the Packers and the Bucks. I was going to say, and Tom Brady, but that also goes to Brady and Rodgers, also the fourth quarterback matchup in the NFL history with seven combined NFL MVP awards. There's a lot of hardware that's going to be on the field. What do you think of this game? It's interesting because there's not a lot of receivers on either team that are going to be available for these MVP caliber and MVP winning quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it there, right? All the hardware, all the accolades, the rings that Brady has. I know Rodgers has one, but both of these teams are decimated with injuries. And then you take a look at the Buccaneers. I know we'll talk about this game a little bit later, but Buccaneers are really struggling keeping guys healthy right now, whether it's been in the offensive line. We saw about the issues that they had during training camp and in the first week of the season. A lot of guys, as far as the latest injury report, guys like Julio Jones, Rashad Perriman, those guys are not practicing up until Thursday. There's also injuries on the Packers side. So we expect when we talk about, you know, teams like the Buccaneers and the Packers and how these quarterbacks are just going to make any throw to any person or any receiver, we expect points. But I think this is going to be more of a rock fight between these two players or in these two teams. But I think we kind of got to step back and just kind of appreciate just watching these two quarterbacks go up against each other, because like you mentioned, Katie, they
could
are
be the last time. Yeah,
it possibly could be the last time, because these are generational talents, like quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers. I know he doesn't have the rings to back it up, but he's still, you know, back-to-back MVP winner. Huh. You know, he's had the division titles. Tom Brady, his resume speaks for himself. So I'm excited just to watch these two quarterbacks just kind of go at it. It's probably, like you mentioned, it's probably one of the last times to see it. So I just think you got to kind of sit back and enjoy watching these two guys go at it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but I think it's really going to be a rock fight. Maybe the first to 20 points is going to win this game. But yeah, I think it should be an exciting game.
I do too. And it's kind of sad to think about that unless both of these teams make it to the NFC Championship game, which I'm not sure that both of them will, this could be the very last time that we see these quarterbacks go against each other. Yeah. And it is going to be so interesting because you're going to see them, without their top receivers. Like Mike Evans is suspended. Yeah. Godwin's injured. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones, as you just said, didn't practice this week. Offense will probably go through Leonard Fournette for the Bucs, but he's also nursing a little bit of a hamstring injury. Yeah. He's been limited with practice. Packers Bears, they also don't have a lot of people. Cobb is out. Lazard is out. So you're going to see how good these quarterbacks really are. And I agree with you. They can throw to anyone, but not everyone can catch, as we saw week one with the Packers. Yeah. So I think this is going to be a big defense game, and we'll get into that more in picks.
Yep. I think that, we'll talk about the picks as well, but I think it's going to have to be the Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon show for the Green Bay Packers. And whether that's running the football or, you know, short passing games, screen pass, things like that, I think that's what's going to have to be for the Packers.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's time for Capper's Corner. So let's give you some week three picks, starting with what we just talked about, the Bucks and the Packers. Green Bay, I mean, this line just moved to pick 'em. So Green Bay plus 100, Tampa Bay minus 120. The line is just minus one, over under 42. Munaf, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers in this game. Like you just mentioned, this line went from, I think, what, plus 1.5 to plus one to now a pick 'em for the Green Bay Packers. And I think that, you know, we just talked about some of the injuries that both of these teams are going through. And I think it's more significant for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, last week they went up against the Saints. They were trailing for most of that game. I think they were held scoreless in that first half against the New Orleans Saints, and they kind of turned it up defensively, and they were able to score, you know, I think 20 points in that second half, particular 17-7 in that fourth quarter. So they found a way to win that game. Jameis Winston had some mistakes, but now you're going up against Aaron Rodgers, right? That's a completely different quarterback, one of the best in the league.
Yep.
And I think he's really going to have to rely on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, Robert Tonyan, and I think those old reliable guys, or the chemistry that he has with those two players or three players, I think that's what's going to be the difference in this game. Take a look at the injuries for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, like we mentioned, Breshad Perriman, questionable. Russell Gage, Leonard Fournette, the hamstring issue we talked about. Julio Jones, Chris Godwin. So that's pretty much your entire offense. Tom Brady's going to have to rely on what? Scotty Miller for them to score points or move the ball down the field. So defensively, coming into this season as well for the Packers, I know they had one of the best overall defenses. I know their secondary was rated in top five. Their front seven was rated within the top 10 as well. So I think they find a way to win this game. We're probably looking at a 20-17 type of final here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers here, Katie.
So I agree with you on the total. So I'm going to go under on this total, but I'm actually taking this line is pick 'em, right? So there's no real, I don't think, wrong or right answer here. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay on this one. Two of the rosters are injured. We talked about this. I think this is going to rely more on the defense, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has just been better, and they've been really stout. They lead the NFL in sacks. They got 10 on the season. Six of those came from blitzing linebackers. We know the Packers have issues up front. Rodgers has sacked 27 times already this year, and the Bucks have sacked him 21 times in his career. There's really no offense. We've gone about this every which way that we can. I think it's going to be super low scoring, which is kind of a bummer when you have these two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And it's like, which one is going to find a way? I think it's going to be Tom Brady, even though I believe this game is in Green Bay, which is obviously going in the side of Aaron Rodgers. But if I'm going to go by defenses here, I got to pick the Bucks.
I think it's in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it's in Tampa.
Well, then side with the Bucks. Home field advantage.
Yeah, home field advantage for you for sure. And I think that you nailed it. It's crazy to think that, and I kind of do agree with you. I kind of do like the under more in this game now that we're kind of talking it out here. But the first two games, 19-3 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 20-10 for the Buccaneers last week. And then, you know, Green Bay's offense, they showed up against Chicago. But we know their narrative there with Aaron Rodgers owning the Chicago Bears. But now you're going up against a much better defense here in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like you mentioned. So I think, I do like the total more in this game versus a side. So, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. But under 42, I think, seems like a better bet in this game here, Katie.
All right, so we agree on one thing, and then we'll see who prevails in the next. Let's move on. Kansas City at Indianapolis. Kansas City -240 on the money line. If you feel like taking Indy, they're +196. This spread is 5.5. There's been some live movement there. It was at 7 at one point, over under 50.5. Chiefs, of course, coming off that 27-24 win versus the Chargers. They were the 4-point home favorite. They did not cover because, you know, thank you to Herbert there for the backdoor cover in that game. The Chiefs have the most wins without covering since 2018. As good as they are, they're not that great against the spread. Patrick Mahomes, 7 pass touchdowns, 0 interceptions this season. The man is on a mission to prove he does not need Tyreek Hill. This is the third season with 7-plus passes and no interceptions in weeks 1 and 2. Colts coming off 24-0. Upset loss at the Jaguars is 3-point road favorites. Colts under the total in 7 straight games. It's the longest active streak in the NFL. All 7 games in that streak had a 44 total of points or fewer. What do you think of this game? I feel like this has the makings of a trap game, and I think we're going to be on the same side here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that this is going to be the game where the public is all over the Chiefs here in this game, especially now that it's less than a touchdown, right? Like you mentioned, it opened up at 7. I think we saw some sharp money come in on the Colts in this game at +7, which has driven this number down to +5.5 for the Colts. And I think that, you know, Colts have not looked good in the first 2 weeks, right? Yeah. They played the Texans in the week 1. That ended up in a tie. Last week got shut out by the Jaguars, like you mentioned there. But the one thing that you did mention there, Katie, is that Chiefs win games, but they don't cover the numbers. Yeah. Ever since Patrick Mahomes took over as a starting quarterback in 2018, piling up the wins for sure, but in situations where they are an away favorite under Patrick Mahomes, they're only 14-13 against the spread, which is about 51% I think the Colts show up in this game. I know they were missing Michael Pittman Jr. last week with the Colts offense. I think he should be playing in this game. He is their best receiver. I think they're really going to have to rely on the running game here with Jonathan Taylor, feed him the ball and try to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And I think that this defense will show up this week for the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm going to go with the sharp side here. I'm going to take the home underdog in this game.
Yep.
Give me the Indianapolis Colts +5.5 against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs here.
I agree with you 100%. I just feel like this is going to be an uglier game than people are giving it credit for. And like you said, the public is all over. It's the number one. It's the biggest liability right now with books is Kansas City right now covering that spread. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think that this is an extremely desperate home dog and they're not going to want to go down 0-3. You touched on it. The Colts need to reestablish the run game. What they were good at last season was the run game, getting Jonathan Taylor activated. And then also their O-line. Really needs to step up and protect Matt Ryan a little bit better. Yeah. They've got to be better up front. I think they fixed those two things. I'm not saying they win this game. I think that the Chiefs still do, but I do think that they will, you know, give us what they need to in order to cover that 5.5. So I agree with you. And that's actually the only play I have on this game. Is there anything else you like?
No, that was all I had. I was trying to find some player props in this game. Trying to look for some Michael Pittman receiver props, but those aren't listed yet. I think they're still waiting on his status, but it's Colts for me here +5.5.
Okay, let's look at the Lions at the Vikings. Detroit plus 205 at Minnesota. Minnesota minus 250 on the money line. This spread is 6, favoring Minnesota over under 52.5. The Lions have lost 4 straight in Minnesota, have not won there since 2017, but they're looking for their first 2-1 start since 2017. Kirk Cousins, he's 7-1. His win-loss records, 18 pass touchdowns, 2 interceptions versus the Lions as the starter for the Vikings. Lions, of course, coming off of that 36-27 win versus the Commanders as 1-point home dogs. Aiden Hutchinson doing everything they drafted him to do. He has 3 sacks so far this season. What do you think of this game? It's an interesting one.
Yeah, I'll say this. This is going to be the game where Kirk Cousins is not in prime time.
Yeah.
He's at home. It's that 1 o'clock Eastern start against a divisional opponent. I think this is a game where the Vikings do bounce back here. You know, Detroit in their first 2 games, like you mentioned, you know, last week they were in a shootout against the Washington Commanders, and then in week 1 against the Philadelphia Eagles, also a shootout. So both of those totals have gone over the total. I'm going to stay with the total here. I like the over in this game. Yeah. I think that this is a game where Kirk Cousins and the offense led by Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook are going to be able to move the ball, you know, on their home field. We saw them do that in week 1 against the Green Bay Packers. Justin Jefferson just went off in that game. And I'm not a believer yet in this Detroit Lions defense. You know, like I mentioned, they've given up 27 last week to the Commanders, 38 to the Philadelphia Eagles. And now they're going to have the task of going up against Justin Jefferson. Offensively, the Lions have looked great as well, right? Jared Goff has looked good. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been a revelation this season. We kind of saw hints of it last season where he looked really good for this Lions offense, but he's really taking that next step for them at that wide receiver position. DeAndre Swift has looked amazing as well for this. So I think we're going to see a lot of back and forth in this game, a lot of up and down. I think that this number is a little conservative at 51.5. So I'm going to go over the total here, Katie.
I love that. I'm going over the total as well, but I'm also going to take the Vikings minus the 6, and you touched on it. Kirk Cousins looked like Kirk Cousins does in primetime on Monday night. Justin Jefferson was also shut out. I don't think that's going to happen again. And I'd like this over because you touch on it as well. The Detroit Lions have put up 30 points in back-to-back weeks. And Minnesota's defense, yeah, they looked good against the Packers, who were flat in week 1, didn't look all that great against the Eagles. Yeah. It's the Lions' first road game of the season. So I do like the Vikings to get this win at home. I feel like they're going to be hungry for it after that embarrassing showing on Monday night. Vikings have also won the last 4 contests against the Lions at home, and those victories have been by an average margin of 11 points. Now, this is not the same old Lions team, but I think that the Vikings come out big, they get the win by a touchdown, and I love this over as well.
Yeah, and also do like a player prop in this game, Justin Jefferson, like I mentioned, he's had 4 career games against the Detroit Lions, and in 3 of those 4 games, he's had at least 120 or more receiving yards for the Minnesota Vikings. And like you mentioned last week, didn't have a great game in that primetime game. But again, you're back home. You're in that 1 p.m. Eastern start time where Kirk Cousins is comfortable for whatever reason. So I think this is a game where he gets at least 100 receiving yards, if not more. And like I mentioned, he's done it in 3 out of 4 games against the Detroit Lions. So I think that's going to continue here for Justin Jefferson. So I'm also going to take Justin Jefferson over 97.5 receiving yards. You can find that over on Caesars Sportsbook.
I love that. I'm going to tail that one with you. Moving on, the Rams at the Cardinals, big NFC West showdown. Rams are favored by 3.5 here, over under 48.5, which is kind of interesting for these two offenses. You know, Matthew Stafford, 22 interceptions since the start of the season. My name wouldn't be Katie Mox if I wasn't going to take a Matthew Stafford interception in this game. But, you know, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, this is it's going to be a fun divisional matchup here. But I think the one thing that does kind of stick out to me is I think the Rams, obviously, I think are the better team. I know they haven't looked like it in the first 2 weeks. They got blown out in their season opener, the NFL season opening game against the Buffalo Bills last week. They had the cover, but they almost let the Falcons win that game. But fortunately for the Rams, they got the victory there. But one thing that really did stick out to me, Katie, is that since Sean McVay has become the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams and going up against Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay is 6-1 straight up against the Cardinals with Kingsbury as the head coach. He's also 5-1-1 against the spread the head coach going up against Cliff Kingsbury. They're an average cover margin of 9 points per game. So last week, I think, was it maybe a game where they got a little bit fortunate, where they had to come from behind and win that game against the Raiders? Look, Kyler Murray looked great in that game. He did what he had to do for them to kind of come back and win that game. I know they had the fortunate fumble six in that game where they came from behind and won, but I'm still not convinced that they have enough offensively to keep up with the offense of the Los Angeles Rams, right? We talk about Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's good for interceptions and things like that, but you still have to contain Cooper Kupp. You still have a pretty good running game here with your Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald on that defensive line. So I'm going to go with the Rams in this game. I just like the history that Sean McVay has against his Cardinals team. You know, I laid out the numbers there. So give me the Rams -3.5 against the Arizona Cardinals in this game.
I definitely think that the Rams are going to win this game. I'm going to stay away from this side just because both of these teams have been unreliable against the spread in their last five or six games dating back until last season. The Cardinals have covered the spread in just one of their last 10 meetings versus the Rams. You kind of already touched on that. And I like the over in this game. The Rams have scored at least 30 points 8 times along that stretch. Rams also put up 31 points versus Atlanta last week. Cards with that 20-point comeback in the fourth. So I love the over in this game. 48 seems kind of low to me with both of these offenses. And, you know, I'm going to take Stafford to throw a pick. It's a little bit juicy right now. I think it's at -142. So I get it. Throw it in, you know, throw it in a parlay if you need to. But it's free money. It's free money. I mean, this guy had 17 interceptions last season. He's got 5 total already in 2 games. It's the best bet. It's the easiest bet in football for Stafford to throw an interception.
Yeah, the markets are finally starting to catch up on this, right? Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's getting juicy now at minus, you know, north of -130, -140 now. So I think the books hadn't caught up to that number. But I also have a player prop in this game. Looking at the tight end position for the Los Angeles Rams, Tyler Higbee, I'm going to go over 44.5 receiving yards.
Okay.
And it's been one thing for me, what I've been tracking here is that tight ends going up against the Cardinals, right? In week one, they went up against Travis Kelce. I mean, the best the tight end in the game. I think there's no argument there, but he had 8 receptions, 121 yards against the Arizona Cardinals. But even last week, Darren Waller had 6 receptions on 8 targets from Derek Carr. He also had 50 receiving yards in that game. But also Foster Moreau for the Raiders last week against his Cardinals defense, he had 3 receptions for 30 yards. And Tyler Higbee has been involved in this offense for the Los Angeles Rams. You know, a lot of the attention does go to a guy like Cooper Kupp. And I think that opens up opportunities for other guys in this offense. Allen Robinson had a good week last week, but I think Tyler Higbee is going to continue to have success as a tight end up against his Cardinals defense. So I think at 44.5, I'm going to jump on the over in this game. The first 2 games of this regular season, Katie, if you kind of take a look at his game logs, he's getting the targets from Matthew Stafford, right?
Yeah.
Week 1 against the Buffalo Bills, he had 11 targets, 39 receiving yards. And then last week against the Atlanta Falcons, he had 9 targets, got 7 receptions in that game, but also finished that game with 71 receiving yards. So I think Tyler Higbee, he's going to get over this number here. At least I think he can get 50 against his Cardinals defense.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a free money one. I love that. What are the odds on that?
I think I saw it at -110, if I'm not mistaken, over on Caesars.
All right, love it. Lock it in. Okay, my favorite game of this slate, the Niners at the Broncos. The 49ers haven't been to Mile High Stadium, I believe, since 2014, might be 2016. But of course, they are very familiar with the quarterback at Russell Wilson. Jimmy G, now at center. This line has been all over the place. I don't know. I believe we were both on after the game last week. I was talking to Sean and Ryan in the Discord, which was crashing and all kinds of fun things. But that was at 2. They were 2.5-point dogs. The Niners were 2.5-point dogs. Of course, all the coaching woes that are happening in Denver. And then, of course, Jimmy G coming back on the offense at center for the 49ers. This has now swipped. I don't know. Combining those two words there. They're now -1.5 favorites. This over under 45 seems a little bit low with the way that the Niners offense has been clicking. Although when you look at Russell Wilson, he only has 2 passing touchdowns and they've got 6 field goals on their end. But what do you think about this game?
I have to go with the San Francisco 49ers here, Katie. And that's not because I'm on the show here with you, but there, I think there's serious concerns with the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, beginning of the season, we talk about when you have a new head coach, you have a new quarterback. It takes a while for those two guys to kind of gel together and build that chemistry and what they want to do offensively. And like you mentioned, they've had so many issues in the red zone where they haven't, it's been more field goals than touchdowns for this Denver Broncos team. Now you're back on primetime. We saw what happened in week one on Monday Night Football with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. And now you have to go up against a 49ers team. Now that you have Jimmy G back under center for this San Francisco 49ers team, well, we'll agree that he gives them a much better chance of winning football games than Trey Lance was. I mean, no disrespect to Trey Lance. It's just unfortunate to see him go down the way he did and losing him for the rest of the season. But I think just Jimmy G being familiar with the offensive system with Kyle Shanahan, knowing these players, and just the amount of times that both of these two guys with Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo have won, I have to go with the 49ers. Yeah, until I see the Denver Broncos make those adjustments that they need on offense with Russell Wilson and fixing their issues that they have in the red zone, I'm going to go with the 49ers here all day here. I think they just are the better team between these two teams right now. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Yeah, I'm obviously a huge homer, but I believe and agree with everything that you just said. Russell Wilson and the Broncos, they got booed at home last week versus the Texans, even though they won that game. Wilson, he only had 219 yards last week, under 50% passing, had an interception. Broncos offense, like I said, has only scored two touchdowns and six field goals in two games. They've been absolutely atrocious in the red zone, and they're up against the 49ers defense. You know, Wilson, when he – and it's so interesting, right? Because if we talk about Russell Wilson and let Russ cook and everything that he did in Seattle, well, now we're starting to realize Seattle had a top five defense the entire time that he was there. He had the, they had the number two scoring defense from 2012 to 2015. So there's so many questions now about Wilson and his leadership. Apparently, he likes to have his own offense. He's on the sideline yelling at people to yell, pass, and ball, which I haven't seen since, like, high school football.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me like, obviously coaching is a problem. The clock management is just, I don't even understand what's happening there. The play calling is questionable, but it's also Russell Wilson and his leadership. I think you look at someone like Tom Brady, who went to the Bucs and instantly got everybody in a good place. I don't know that Russell Wilson has that. I don't even know that the team likes him that much. So I just feel like there are so many problems and the Broncos are not gelling at all. And the Niners were always pretty cohesive, but now we saw the offense relax. We saw the defense play better. We saw everybody just kind of get into place with Jimmy because they're comfortable with him, not a knock against Lance, as we said. You know, I feel so bad. Every time I say something nice about Jimmy, I have to be like, oh, I wish that Trey wasn't injured. I really don't wish that he was injured, but I am happy for this team because I'm sorry. You saw the difference. Everybody saw the difference in the way that the Niners played with him. So Niners minus 1.5. I feel like that line could even balloon up even more over the next 2 days. So if you got it at the 2.5, like I said last week, congratulations to you plus the 2.5 as dogs, but 1.5 all day. I also like a couple props. Debo Samuel, these are anytime touchdown props, but Debo Samuel anytime. The game plan hasn't really changed, no matter if it's Jimmy or if it's Trey Lance. It's give the ball to Debo. And we saw it last week. He didn't get a touchdown, but he did get a touchdown in week one. And then I also like Brandon Ayuk. He's a little bit better. I think he's at plus 180 to get a touchdown. And he really wasn't doing that much under Trey. He had three targets in week one. He had eight targets with Jimmy last week. He was looking a lot better. I expect that to increase. Then I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in the end zone.
It wouldn't be a show if Katie didn't bring the fire with the player props with her 49ers. No, I love it. Debo Samuel's the offense. Like, we know that, right? Like, he's involved in the passing game. He's involved in the running game. You know, it seems like just every single year with this 49ers team that there's always an injury in that backfield. Yep. Unfortunately, this year is for Elijah Mitchell.
Yep.
But they have enough depth at that position for guys to step up, right? Jeff Wilson Jr., you talked about Debo. Brandon Ayuk, I think that, you know, with Jimmy G now under center, I think that he'll start playing a lot better for this offense. And let's go back to it, Katie. I think this is a huge coaching mismatch as well, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing offensively with this team. The defense is a lot better for the 49ers. You know, on paper coming to this year, the Denver Broncos were being crowned as the AFC West champions just because they got Russell Wilson. But now I think people are starting to pump the brakes a little bit after what we've seen over the first two weeks in this season. And kind of going back to last week, Katie, The Texans allowed 517 yards of offense to the Indianapolis Colts in week one. Denver Broncos were not able to take advantage of that last week. So now you have a much better defense coming in with the San Francisco 49ers. I think you also probably want to take a look at the Denver Broncos team total to go under again. Until I see them figure it out, there's no way I can back this offense. So yeah, 49ers all day on Sunday Night Football. I love those props that you give out as well.
Well, and you know, when you talk about the coaching, when we saw Jimmy G last week, he was airing it out more than we've seen him for a long time. Now, of course, that playbook was for Trey Lance. So my hope is that Kyle allows Jimmy to throw the ball, because you know, a lot of people keep saying like, oh, Jimmy never throws it, it's run. Some of that isn't his fault. You know what I mean? He gets the game plan. He does what he's told to do. They had him in Trey Lance's game plan last week. He was airing the ball out. He did really well. He looked great. Let Jimmy throw the ball. Let's see what he can do. So I'm excited about this weekend.
100%. Yeah, let's go 49ers. I love this pick for this Sunday Night Football game. And Debo, I think that there's one more prop I did want to throw at you. If you can find Debo's rushing yards to go over, I think that he's been utilized a lot more in the running game for this 49ers offense so far this season versus in the passing game. So if I'm not misspeaking, I think I saw that at 31.5 over on Caesars.
That's low.
So I love that over as well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's go. All right, we're back with a special segment now. We will be conducting your weekly ref report. This is something that Munaf does with the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can find it hopefully every single week. He's taken a couple weeks to get up here. It's very, very important, these ref stats. So tell us what you found out going into week three. What's the ref situation?
Yeah, so I kind of want to preface this or say this, and I put this in my article as well, right? I think that this is one of the things that where you don't just want to really rely on the NFL referee report to solely make your bets or things like that, right? It's just an extra tool to kind of maybe nudge you in one way or another if you're looking for some more data points. But yeah, this is something I started back last season for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And you know, we talk a lot about, you know, things that kind of influence games, right? And I think that other factor are, you know, referees. So I kind of started keeping track of this last season. And then, like you mentioned, you know, every week I was putting out these reports on the website there. So, and we also have to keep in mind, Katie, is that not every single one of these referees is going to have a trendy stat or something that they favor more than another, right? Sometimes it's going to be three guys a week. Sometimes it might be five. And I see I kind of accumulate more data. You know, things will start sticking out a little more. So at least for week three, Katie, we did have one referee last night, Clay Martin, who was officiating the Thursday Night Football game between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going back to last season, he was one of the refs that did favor home teams, right? Mm. Last season, straight up on the money line, home teams were 10-5, and against the spread, they were 9-6. Fast forward to this year, in the first 2 weeks, Clay Martin, home teams, 2-0 2-0 straight up on the money line and 1-1 against the spread. So we kind of go back and look at it over the last two seasons, or at least, last season up till week two, home teams were, 13-5 straight up on the money line. 12-5 on the money line. And he was the official last night for this game between the Browns and Steelers, like I mentioned. So the line was -4.5, -4, -3.5 at some books, depending on where you got the number. We saw last night that final score ended up being, 29-17?
The meaningless touchdown in the end, yeah.
Meaningless touchdown, yeah. But even without that touchdown, Katie, the Browns were, you know, still covering that number. Yep. They covered the 4.5. They also won that game straight up. So now year-to-date, that number is looking even better for home teams coming into the season when Clay Martin is actually officiating those home teams this season.
That's
so,
honestly,
again, something to keep track of.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't want to put your whole bet based on the referee, but if you're trying to decide between the two of them, it's a lower spread, maybe a game that's a pick'em, that is definitely a stat that I would take into consideration. So Clay Martin loves, caters to the home crowd, I guess you will say.
Yeah.
What about the Broncos and 49ers game? We got Sean Hockley here. Now, maybe not everyone is old enough to remember Ed Hockley, but, you know, he always had the biggest guns on the sideline. But now his son, I believe, Sean Hockley, is a ref. Mm-hmm. What can we expect for my Niners and Broncos with him as the lead ref?
Yeah, good news for the San Francisco 49ers here. So going back to last season, Sean Hockley was a darling for road teams, right? Overall on the season last year, 11-5 straight up on the money line, 11-5 against the spread were road teams. Kind of look at it this season, let me make one more point. Road underdogs last year were 9-2 against the spread when Sean Hockley was officiating those games.
Yeah, huge.
So far this season, Katie, Sean Hockley, perfect 2-0 to road teams straight up and against the spread. This week, he's assigned to the game, like we just mentioned, the 49ers and the Broncos, where depending on what number you got when Katie gave it out last Sunday to, was it +2.5 for the 49ers, or even right now where it's sitting at -1.5. Road teams, like I mentioned, have had a lot of success against road teams with Sean Hockley officiating those games. So Sunday Night Football, 49ers look like they're at least in great shape officiating wise with Sean Hockley as the head referee here to hopefully Niners get the victory here. So I think another data point in our favor here, Katie, since we like the 49ers in this game.
I love it. That is music to my ears. I know we're only 2 weeks in. Is there any other refs that people should be aware of right now, or should we wait a little bit longer as the season goes on for some more data?
I'll throw one more out there for you. And I think this ref last year was, if we wanted to give out some MVP awards for referees, Ron Torbert was probably that guy last year. I think right next to Sean Hockley, like I just mentioned. But if you're a totals better, and especially for under betters, Torbert was a cash cow last season. He officiated 16 games last year. Last season, 11-5 was the under. In those 16 games, they averaged 43.8 points per game last season. Let's fast forward to this season, Katie. Two games under his belt this season, 2-0 to the under already. Yeah, and those two games are averaging 28.5 points in those two games this season. So I know it's only 2 weeks. Ron Torbert.
Ron Torbert, the king of the under.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So let me see. Here, I can pull up which two games he did this season put it in perspective here. Let's see here, Ron. All right. So he had the first game this season was the Bucks and the Dallas game, where that game ended up going 19-3. As a final score, only 22 points scored in that game. And then last week, he was on the Giants game, the Kramer's Giants, where that game ended up 19-16 in favor of the Giants. So not a lot of points being scored. This week, he's assigned to officiate the game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders. That number is currently sitting at 47.5. So I know the Eagles have been putting up points, but I think this might be another game where we'd see two division opponents going at it, and we see another under with Ron Torbert as the head official in that game, Katie.
I'm 100% taking the under in that game. Very, very valuable. Let people know where they can find this report every week.
Yeah, if you just go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, I usually do my best to get it up by Wednesday morning. You can also find it on my Twitter. I tweet it out there at sportsnerd824. But again, just make sure to head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get that referee report. And I will do my very, very best to get that up by at latest Wednesday afternoon.
Love it. Those are some of our best NFL picks. Let's check in with Greg McElroy from the Always College Football Podcast for his best college football bets for this weekend.
Hey, y'all, it's Greg McElroy here from ESPN and Omaha Productions Always College Football. We appreciate you checking us out. Let me give you a couple of hits for the weekend, all right? Three games that you want to take a peek at. One at noon, one at 3:30, one in the nightcap, primetime, all right? We're going to make a couple bucks. Take $5, take $10, take $20, whatever you're comfortable with. Have a little fun. Maybe you don't have any rooting interest in these games. Perfect. This will give you some. If anything else, you pay a lot more to go see a movie. All right? Put whatever you would to go see a movie. You're entertained for 3 hours because now you have a rooting interest. All right? Baylor at Iowa State, that's in the noon window. I want you to put $10 or $20 or whatever you feel comfortable with on the Iowa State Cyclones. Why? Because no one thinks Iowa State's any good. They're unranked. Meanwhile, Baylor won the Big 12 last year, just played a really good game against BYU the week before, and they're still ranked in the top 25. Well, meanwhile, Iowa State's favored by 3 at home. Everyone and their brother's thinking, oh, circle Baylor. Let's go. No. That's exactly when you want to fade that public sentiment. Take Iowa State. All right, they're in the 330 window. Let's go to Minnesota and Michigan State. Michigan State still ranked at the top 25 after they played awful last week on the road at Washington. Still haven't addressed some of the issues in the secondary. Minnesota, meanwhile, that line opened Michigan State as a 1.5-point favorite. Immediately after it opened, that thing slammed all the way to Minnesota -3. That's a very significant movement in a very short period of time. Tells me, I think Vegas got it wrong when they put it out there initially. So, in a rare indication, I'm going to take Minnesota as the road favorite. I don't like road favorites very often, but in this particular case, I do. And then finally, in the nightcap, USC traveling to Oregon State. Everyone and their brothers on USC and have been. They're the most public play out there the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Why? Because they're flashy again. Lincoln Riley's there. He's waving the magic wand. They're going to win all their games. They're going to score a million points. That's great. What people don't know is that Oregon State is legit. Very, very physical. And nobody has more outright wins as an underdog than Jonathan Smith and Oregon State the last couple years. Give me Oregon State +7. They're at home. Another thing that I like about it, 80% of the tickets are coming in on USC. 80% of the tickets on USC. Meaning what? Very, very public. You know what we don't want to be in this line of work? Public. Give me the sharp side. That's Oregon State. Give me the 7 points to go along with it.
You can catch Always College Football every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Munaf, it's time for Mox Locks. What are your two best bets you are absolutely taking to the window this weekend from the analysis that you've already given us? Give it to me. What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, after all the talk that we just had about the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to go -1.5 on the San Francisco 49ers. You know, we talked about it, how this Denver offense just does not look very good. We just talked about the ref report. We have a referee that favors road team. So Jimmy G back under center, 49ers Sunday Night Football -1.5. I think that we'll get easily, hopefully, and we can get to the window and catch that ticket with the San Francisco 49ers -1.5 for Sunday Night Football. I'll give you a second one.
I'm gonna go with
player prop here. David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears, running back. I'm gonna go over on his rushing yards. 67.5 is what I'm currently seeing over on Caesars. This Texans rush defense has been the worst, not only last season, but also this season, going up against their opponents. Week one against the Indianapolis Colts, the Texans gave up 161 yards on the ground to Jonathan Taylor. Last week against the Denver Broncos, they gave up 122 yards. Javonte Williams, I think his number was set at 53.5. He ended up with 75. I think this number is a little conservative here for David Montgomery here. So I think this rush defense will continue to struggle against this Chicago Bears offense, where they don't have a lot in the running game. In the passing game. I think they're going to have to rely on David Montgomery to really run the ball here for them. And he's been getting the rush attempts as well for the Chicago Bears here. So I'm quickly trying to pull up how many attempts he's had so far this season for the Chicago Bears. I know one game he had.
Well, I thought he was one of the bright spots last weekend, you know, versus the Packers. I thought Montgomery was one of the only ones that had a pretty decent game. So I do think this is conservative for him, especially when you talk about how much yards has been given up. So I like this.
Yeah. Yeah, 17 against the 49ers, but he only accumulated 26 yards. But we know Niners have one of the best rush defenses.
Yeah.
And Monsoon also, right? And then last week, like you mentioned, 15 attempts, 122 yards against the Green Bay Packers. So now you're going up against one of the worst rush defenses in the league. David Montgomery over his rushing yards total here, Katie. Those are my two best bets.
I love it. My two best bets. Deebo Samuel, anytime touchdown. It's at minus 118. He's the favorite in this game to get a touchdown. And for good reason. We already told you, the Niners offense runs through Deebo, whether he's a receiver, whether he's a running back, it doesn't matter. He's getting into the end zone, minus 118. And again, death, taxes, and Matthew Stafford interceptions is at minus 142. But that is always going to be my lock. It is the best bet in football. The guy cannot go through a game without, especially because everybody knows Stafford's number. He's great against the blitz, but if you don't blitz him, he's terrible. And the Bills didn't blitz him at all. And look what happened to him. He had five interceptions, I believe, just in that game alone. So, or no, he's had five this season. I don't know how many he had in that game, a couple of them at least. Take him for an interception, guys. Minus 142. It seems like it's juicy, but it is free money. All right, that's going to conclude Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Manoff, thank you so much for coming on. Let people know where to find you.
Yeah, you can find all of my work over on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, NFL Gambling Podcast, the Propcast, where we talk about player props, NBA right around the corner, the NBA Gambling Podcast going to be firing up, and also MLB. As we kind of wind down the season and get ready for the playoffs. But you can follow me on Twitter as well, at SportsNerd824. All my work is up there on my Twitter. But yeah, this was a lot of fun, Katie. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming on with us today. Obviously, don't forget to follow us on social as well, at MoxieBets. And we'll see you next time. Good luck on your bets.